Sometimes when you're about to head into a ministry and there's this distraction in the back of your head and you have to just acknowledge it to put it aside. So let me just acknowledge the distraction in the back of my head today and lay it aside, and I'll ask you to pray. So went to visit my brother yesterday. My brother has, Parkinson's. He's barely communicative anymore. He can hardly talk. He can hardly walk. And that's fine. But this morning I got a call from the place that he's staying. My sister-in-law Kathy is out of town. She's vacationing, and so I'm the emergency contact. And they're saying, so Walt had a fall last night. He hit his head, and there's a bump in his head instead of out. We called the ambulance, but he refused to be admitted, so we had to sign a waiver saying that he's going to stay, you know, where he is. And so I tried to get a hold of Kathy again, saying, hey, Kathy, you know, check in with Walt when you get here. And so they said he's fine. He took his meds. He went back to bed. But it's just, as you can imagine, it's just on my mind. And that's important, but the Word of God is also important. So could we just pray for a second? Father, we just lift up all these important things in our lives, and I know I'm not the only one that has really important things going on. And the fact that we gather here means that they're important to you too. We don't want to pretend they're not there, but neither do we want them to distract us from hearing from you. And so, God, give us the grace to lay aside. Give us the grace to release to you the things that are hard and important. And give us the peace of your Spirit that we could hear the things you have for us today. And so for my sake and for the sake of all who are gathered, we surrender ourselves to you. Amen. Thank you. So, last week I invited you all to join with myself and the elders, and that we would enter into beginning the practice of developing a regular weekly rhythm of fasting. And I'm really curious to see how that went for you this week. If you forgot about it, no big deal. This is a journey. This isn't a, hey, we did this once and you missed it and oh no for you. This is a, hey, we're on this journey together. If you chose to decline, I hope you'll reconsider. I hope as we study the Word of God together today, that you will hear from the Lord. Because we're talking about a worldview in which the spiritual forces in the heavens and our physical experiences on earth are connected. And perhaps they're more connected than we give them credit for, perhaps more than we realize. And that fasting is one of the ways that we can train our bodies to engage in both of these worlds at the same time. That we learn to recognize the voice of our flesh and all the things that it desires and all the things that it wants, and that sometimes that's actually a rebellion against the voice of God and the things that he wants, and learning to recognize that. So, for example, let's practice this. How many of you, when you read the ACE this week or you got the text on Thursday evening, experienced some level of hesitancy, some level of, oh no, I don't know if I want to do this. Okay, so let's be honest, because I did. Okay, yeah, I would expect that a lot of us would. And what I want you to do is, I think it's excellent that you experienced that. I say good, because that is a positive thing. And what I want you to do is I want you to think back and see if you can put that message, that feeling that you had when you got the text message, put it into words. See if you can come up with a phrase, you know, 5-7 words that accurately describes what exactly was it that you heard. Okay, so think about that. See if you can put it into words, and I'm going to do the same thing. What would be 5 words that describe my feeling? Okay, are you there? So let's, some of us, if you could, let's share some of those phrases. And I'd like to see how close they are together, how similar the messages are. So will anybody dare? Yes. Okay, I'm going to be really hungry because I don't eat breakfast. And that's a distraction. Okay. Okay. Another one. What was the message that's going on inside your head? I'm sorry? Hesitant to engage. Yeah. Good. Yes. Ah, I love that one. Is it going to do any good? Yes. Good question. Anyone else? This could be inconvenient. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. It's important to put that voice, to try to capture clearly what is that voice saying. And then to ask yourself, where do you think that voice is coming from? Because you are, whether you realize it or not, you're hearing a spiritual voice. This is a spiritual voice, and there is a clear message in your head, and that message, one way or another, is designed to distract you from setting apart time to listen to God. And all of those things were manifestations of that same message that this isn't going to work anyways, it's distracting, it's, you know, it's really not that important. And I want you to notice how subtle that voice is. Notice that Satan is not so clumsy as to suggest to you some kind of a blatant lie. For example, you don't like God, you don't like to spend time with God, and you certainly don't want to hear his voice, right? That would never work on you. That's not who you are. The subtle message is shaped to your particular personality, and it reflects the fact that you do have a relationship with God, just not right now, if that's okay. If we could just put that aside for a little while. And so you'll hear from Satan a much more subtle approach. Something like, I'll say this, you would never say this, but I'll say this, Norm's just getting carried away again, right? Anybody hear that voice on Friday morning? Norm's just on this, okay, and so it really doesn't matter. Satan's planting these really soft and subtle seeds, hoping that maybe he can convince you to think, it's not that important. And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that fasting begins when you first receive the invitation to fast, because that's when the battle begins. That's when the laying aside of the bread begins. On Wednesday, when you receive the ace. On Thursday, when you get the reminder. It's not about the food. It's about a posture of saying, the word of God is important, and I am going to posture myself to hear that. So Friday morning comes, and you have this sense of, this is silly, it's not going to do any good. Anybody here in their mind, maybe I'll start next week. Was that convenient? Like, anybody? Yeah. And of course, what would be the message next week was, well, maybe next. I mean, as long as that message is going to work on you, he's going to keep using it. So there's all these messages that are saying this really isn't that important. And I want you to know that you're not alone. We're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning that tells us clearly that our brothers and sisters all over the world are experiencing the same thing. Like, this is a global reality. This is a worldview manifesting itself in the physical realms. We are not alone. Jesus, when he was fasting, he heard a voice that told him, it's really not so important. Why don't you just have some bread? And his response was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He understood that there was a real important connection between our physical bodies and the spiritual world. Jesus understood that Satan uses even the really good things that God gives us in this world. Satan uses things that are essential for our bodies to live, and he uses them to draw us away from God. There's nothing wrong with bread. Satan is about leveraging something good for something bad. He's about creating a sense of control and manipulation, and we don't even realize that he's doing it. But Jesus understood what was going on. He did not allow himself to be controlled even by the good blessings of this world. He did not let anything own him. He disciplined his desires because he understood that disciplining his desires was part of a spiritual battle. And so as we enter into this practice together, if there was one thing that I would want you and encourage you to concentrate on in these early weeks of fasting, it would be this: to recognize the voice of the flesh. To recognize those subtle little messages that, maybe next week, or it's really not that important. To recognize that you are in a spiritual battle. And when you learn to recognize the voice of the flesh in that one setting, it will help you learn to recognize the voice of the flesh in other settings. And so I'd encourage you, when you're experiencing that, expose it. Speak it out. Actually articulate, what exactly is this message? And then go, do I really believe that? Would I actually choose that if I wasn't being subtly manipulated? Satan knows better than to think that the physical world and the spiritual world are connected. He knows better than that. He just doesn't want you to know better than that. He wants you to remain deceived that these things are completely separate. And so we are tuning in to a still, small, gentle voice at the same time that the world is just screaming at you and yelling at you and telling you over and over again a different message. And so the benefit of these first few weeks is to recognize the different voices, to discern the voice of God amidst all the noise, and that if you're going to hear the voice of God, you're going to have to learn to recognize the other voices that are really advocating for the flesh. That's what they're doing. So let's keep at it and grow in this discipline together. Now, I said last week that we're looking at a worldview in which four things are true. Number one, in this worldview, our relationship with God is the highest purpose of creation. That's what God created everything for, that we would have a relationship with him. Destroying that relationship is the highest purpose of Satan. Let's mess up God's creation. Let's mess up relationships. Number three, disrupting communication between us and God. If he can disrupt communication, he's going to disrupt the relationship. So that's his number one strategy. And then number four, consecration, which can include fasting. This is our response. This is how we respond to the division of Satan, to recognize it, consecrate ourselves, hear the word of God, and then do what God has been asking us to do. Now, I think we have all in our lifetime seen some variation of a cartoon where you have a picture of the devil, he's speaking in one year, and an angel, he's speaking in the other year. And you know, we see that in cartoons. We see this worldview in a number of different places. As I was looking for an image of this morning, I was startled to find a number of people with tattoos, with these graphic tattoos of a demon over this ear and an angel over this ear. And I'm going, wow, you're embracing this narrative in a profoundly loud way. I mean, you're declaring something that you're listening to two voices. Now, the good thing about this image is that it captures a part of a truth, and that part of the truth is that there's more than one voice. Okay, so that part is true. The problem with this worldview is that it appears that there's two equal voices. It appears as if, you know, there's one voice in this here, one voice in that here, and it's a bit of a teeter-totter. It could go this way, it could go that way. That is not the biblical description of what's going on. In 1 Peter 5, he paints a different picture. Rather than having a voice in each ear, it paints the picture of a lion that's on the hunt, and you are the menu, okay? 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And if you are not careful, this lion will eat you for lunch. Lions stalk their prey. They choose their moment. You cannot let your guard down. Be sober about this. Be watchful. And again, this fits exactly into the biblical worldview that we're talking about. Remember, God cast Satan out of heaven onto the earth. Jesus describes Satan as the prince of this world. This world is his. Remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan, Satan said, all this I will give to you. It's his to give. Satan is the prince of this world. What that means is, until Christ returns, we're on his turf. We live in enemy territory, and we are vulnerable. It's interesting that we are vulnerable. Satan is prowling to capture us, but God is giving us what we need to defend ourselves. And it begins with this warning. Be sober. Understand what's going on. Be watchful. Don't get fooled into thinking that the things of this world do not hold spiritual power over you. Do not be fooled. Just like with Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, remember the temptations? There was bread, then there was reputation. You know, if you jump from this tower, won't everybody be impressed? And then it was the wealth and power of this world. All this I will give you. These are all good things. All of them are good things. But they're also things that Satan uses to divide our loyalties. And it's so easy to get drawn into these good things and to allow them to be subtly distorted so that suddenly they're coming between us and God. This description of the lion in 1 Peter, it's in the middle of a passage of Scripture that affirms the worldview that we're looking at. So I want to take a look at the larger passage of Scripture starting at chapter 5, verse 6. He starts this section by saying, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So, followers of Christ, choose to humble yourselves under the hand of God. In other words, follow his lead when he's limiting you. And that when you're tempted with bread or fame or power, don't let that feed your own pride. Do not be controlled by your cravings to in any way lift yourself up. Humble yourself. God cares for you. Let God be the one to exalt you in his time. Let him exalt you while you humble yourself under his hand. And all the anxieties that Satan whispers in your ear, you know, oh, I need this, I don't have enough of that, what about tomorrow? Don't buy it. Don't buy into those whispers. God cares for you. Cast your anxieties on him. God cares for you. So this passage gives us a way that we live in this worldview. Number one, start with the posture, humble yourself. Learn to say no to temptations, even if they're good. Humble yourself, trust God, he'll exalt you at the right time. Number two, be sober-minded. Think about what you're getting yourself into. Be watchful. You are on the menu. Don't be fooled. And then number three, when you are confronted by the temptation, when you recognize that temptation, resist him, stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering, I've mentioned this before, the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This is nothing new. Now, there's two things in this verse that I think they're important for us to pay attention to. First, again, I want to emphasize that Peter is building a worldview. It's a way of understanding life of the believer. And this is normal. This is happening to our brothers and sisters all over the world. Satan is the prince of this world. He's prowling around. He's appealing to our desires, and he's using the world as bait. He uses bread. What can it possibly hurt to eat a piece of toast on Friday morning? He uses wealth and power. All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. He uses the pride of our reputation. Just think of what people will think of you if you jump from this tower and land on your feet and the angels are protecting you. Oh, what a reputation that would give you. The response, Peter says, resist the pride and humble yourself. And at the proper time, God will be the one to lift you up. You will be exalted, just not now, not in this way. Resist the bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Resist the wealth and the power. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And so think about it, he says. Be sober and be watchful. Don't let your guard down. You are not the only one being tempted this way. This is normal for believers all over the world because this is how Satan fights his battles. The second thing that's worthy of note in this one verse is the fact that Peter assumes in this verse, he assumes that you and I have the ability to resist the apex predator, the lion, that you can resist him. He assumes that we have spiritual authority, because that's what we're talking about. This is a spiritual battle. And he's assuming that we have the spiritual authority to resist the prince of this world. It makes you ask, how do I exercise that spiritual authority? I mean, what does that look like? And so next week, we're going to talk about that in particular. How do we exercise our spiritual authority? Today, I'm just going to leave that aside. We're going to come to that next week. But today, let me just say that Peter is right. We have the full authority of Christ. We have the strength of Christ. We have been given tools by Christ to fight this battle if we will learn to use these tools and to stand up against it. Even when we're using all these tools, even when we're resisting, it does not mean that Satan cannot attack. It doesn't mean he can't tempt us, just as he tempted Christ. It's still going to happen. It's just that if we're prepared, if we know how to use the tools, we can stand firm and resist under any temptation. He can't move you unless you buy into his deceptions. That's why we have to be sober-minded. We have to think clearly about these things. And so again, Peter is confirming a worldview that demands of us that we are vigilant. That's, we are to be vigilant. Be sober-minded. Standing our ground, though, is not easy. Because Satan is using every manipulating, subtle voice, every angle that he can to trip us up. And amidst all of those voices that bombard us is the still and small voice of God. And what's interesting in this battle is that that still small voice of God is not even trying to compete with the bombarding voices of Satan. It's not that he can't compete. I mean, if God wanted, he could yell from the heavens. He could do that. He has something else in mind. God wants us to seek his voice. He wants us to make a choice to choose his voice. He wants us to seek it. And this is important. In seeking his voice, we are silencing the voice of Satan. In seeking his voice, we are actually silencing the voice of Satan. Because when we seek his voice, that is the practice of dialing out the other voices. Seeking God is resisting. It is standing firm. And again, we're going to talk more about that next week. But this isn't always easy. You know this. You've been in these battles, and hopefully you win some of them. Hopefully you win many of them. But the truth is, we lose a lot more than we would like to. We make mistakes. But look at the grace of God and how Peter finishes this passage in verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, and you will, the God of all grace, isn't that great? Who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. That's where we're going, okay? This God of all grace will himself, he will be the one to restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And each one of those words carries a number of connotations. And then he finishes this way, to him be the dominion forever and ever, because that's the worldview we live in. In the end, the dominion belongs to God forever and ever. That's where this is going. This is Peter's worldview. And you will suffer for a while. You will suffer the prowling of Satan for a season. We will suffer loss. We will experience failure, and there will be pain. But the God of all grace, I love that phrase, has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. And so we choose. Satan chose to exalt himself. Result, he was humbled by God. He was filled with pride, and he sees that same flaw in us, that we too can be guided by our pride. Satan exalted himself, and God humbled him. This passage says, if you will humble yourself, God will exalt you. And so be sober in your self-examination. Humble yourself whenever God puts his hand over an area of your life. Whenever God wants to diminish something, allow him to do that and let him exalt you at the proper time. And when he does, he will exalt you. Look at all these words. He will restore you. So whatever was lost or broken in the battle, he will restore. He will confirm you. Whatever you think isn't true about you, he will confirm is true about you, that you are the glory of Christ. He will strengthen you for the battle next time. He will establish you, helping you to stand firm and resist. And this is the dominion of God that will be forever. And we can live in that dominion now. We have the authority of Christ to live into that dominion right now. Now, I want to do a very simple exercise with you, almost a little bit like what we did this morning. With the, I want to talk about fasting just a little bit again. With the understanding, okay, of the limitations of gluten-free and celiac and all the different variations that come with bread, can we, for the sake of argument, can we agree that bread is good? Okay? Bread is good. Everything that God gives us is good. Everything that Satan tempted Jesus with was good. He tempted him with regard to his reputation. A good reputation is good. We should have good reputations. They honor the kingdom of God, okay? We glorify God for his reputation. We honor Christ for his reputation. A good reputation is a good thing, but it can be distorted pretty easily. Satan offered Jesus power and all the wealth and all the kingdoms of the earth. Those are good things. They all were created by God. They belong to God. They've been entrusted to Christ and to us. They are good things, but they can be distorted and used for other purposes. The purpose of God for all these things is so that all of us would have everything that we need. Power and authority is to serve the least. Christ came to be a servant, not a ruler. So these are good things. It's when we distort them and we say that power is mine and I get to control, or that the world is mine and I get to use it as I want. See, that's the lie of Satan. But understand that all of these things are good. Everything that God gives us is good. So here's the question. Bread is good. It's essential to life. What is it about bread that needs to be set aside? What is the spiritual dynamic that's at play with fasting? And it's important that we are able to articulate this, because I think right now we have this teaching, and if we can make it into a concise statement that we can remember, it will serve us well. Does that make sense? If we can bring it down to a statement, what is it about bread? What is it about fasting? Can you capture the spiritual dynamic in, again, I'm going to say 5 or 10 words. See if you can do that in your mind. What exactly is the issue here? Because we know it's not the bread. Okay. So what is that? Think about that. See if you can come up with just a phrase, something that captures the spiritual dynamic that's at play. Now, would anybody dare risk their statement? I think we can learn from each other here. That's what I'm trying to do, is create a learning environment so we can explore this together. Renee. Okay, not a statement, but two words of control and comfort. Okay?
Deny yourself.
Okay? It's important. I'm sorry. What are you really hungry for? Good question. Yes. And yes. It centers our life into dependence. So dependence on God rather than, yeah. Okay? Anyone else? How would you capture it? I'm sorry, I'm missing. They're pointing over here, but I don't see a hand over here. Oh, Barry, there.
Try your best?
Yes. Okay. So give yourself to this process. Engage in it. Be sober-minded. Think hard about it. Eddie.
What sustains you?
Okay, the question is, what actually sustains you? Good. Is it bread? Man doesn't live by bread alone. These are good questions. These are good statements. The thing is, when you have a phrase, so here are two that I came up with. I did this exercise earlier. Fasting is about cravings that control us. So is there something that's controlling me? Okay, and that reflects what the same words that Renee was using. And the other one is desiring something more than God. Is there something I'm desiring more than God? Okay, so again, that reflects the same kind of things that you were saying. Here's what's interesting. Those statements, they work not just for bread. And this is the important piece. They work for our reputation, just like Jesus' reputation. Those same statements, they work for our reputation. I crave a reputation, and that controls me, okay? I crave, what is it? I mean, it could be anything. the other temptations of Jesus, wealth, power, control. I crave wealth or power or control, and that controls me. That's what Satan was trying to do. So this idea of fasting is saying nothing will control me. All of these things are good. And we have this, Satan will distort the truth of Scripture that some of these things actually aren't good. That, you know, we shouldn't have wealth, or we shouldn't have authority, or we shouldn't have control, or, you know, whatever it would be. No, these are gifts of God that are easily distorted. And so we're to be sober about them, and to be careful about them, and to hold them as God would have us hold them. They are entrusted to us for the kingdom of God. So those phrases are really important to us. So be sober-minded, be watchful. Satan uses the good things of this world as bait. Resist biting. Don't take the bait. Be sober-minded. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the good and generous things that you share with us. And thank you that you have a purpose for them all. And we also recognize that just as Satan did with Jesus, he will do with us, that we would hold on to these things for our own purposes, that we would somehow find our identity in power or control or some kind of reputation, that we compare ourselves with one another, that we do things that dishonor our true identity, which is in you, and that the true source of all good gifts is you, and that when we embrace your gifts, they can be used for your honor and glory in your kingdom, and when we use them for ourselves, it actually pulls us into this trap of not being able to hear your voice anymore, because we keep hearing the voice of our desires. And so, Jesus, we want to follow your example. We want to learn from you how to resist this lion that prowls. And we pray that by your Spirit, as we engage in the practice of disciplining ourselves, whether with fasting on Friday, or whether there's something else you would have us think about, that we would learn in these early weeks to recognize the various voices that are speaking, and that we would learn to turn to you, to seek you as a way to stand firm in all the good that you have for us. We pray that by your Spirit, we would be led and reminded of these truths this week. Amen.